Thank you, Suzette, for that introduction. And thank you to you folks who have come to listen to our session, and also to Suzette for putting it together. And I'm going to be talking to you today about a project I've been involved with for a little over a decade concerning the long-distance atmospheric transport of African dust and the chemical and biological contaminants that are coming along with it, and the implications for ecosystem and human health. And I disclose that there are no relationships to disclose. These are my colleagues in the in this presentation, my co-authors. And just to give you a little background, I was based in the Virgin Islands for 20 years and primarily studying the changes occurring on coral reefs. And essentially we were trying to figure out, was it mainly anthropogenic effects that were causing declines on reef, or was it mainly natural, things like hurricanes, or was it people? And over the 30 years that I have been working down there, I'd say we've had a loss of 80% of the live coral. And so the question was, why? Well, also living down there and experiencing African dust every summer, and looking at the paradigms that the coral reef community was putting out as to why were there were these losses of coral and why there was no recovery, we hypothesized that these large systems of African dust transport not only the nutrients involved with the mineral soils, but also transport microorganisms that are viable and chemical contaminants, and that those contaminants adversely affect downwind ecosystems. This started with coral reefs, but there's no way that it didn't all of a sudden come over very strongly into human health. And this is sort of a, this is a model from the Navy Research Laboratory in Monterey, and also from the Total Ozone Mapping, that shows a huge African dust outbreak. And as Nick mentioned, the African dust system is the largest of about 9 in the world. It provides literally about a billion, or at least hundreds of millions of tons of mineral dust transported mainly long distances annually. And it starts out in the Sahel and Sahara, and most of the dust gets carried in the Saharan air layer over to the west, into the Caribbean, South America in the winter with the northeast trades, and into the Caribbean and the southeastern United States as far east as Denver, as far west as Denver, and up into Maritime Canada and out around in the summertime, so when you have the southeastern trades. Some of it goes into Europe, and the rest of it goes over to the Middle East. And actually, there's evidence that it does a little bit of global navigation periodically. This is what it looks like on the ground in Mali, and when you're in the middle of that, it's pretty impressive. It gets up to 13,000 micrograms of dust per cubic meter. And so what you have, as Nick mentioned, you have to have wind, you have to have something on the ground that can be lifted up. Gets up into the Saharan air layer a couple of thousand meters in altitude, and gets carried across to the west. And the on the right, we have a picture, a satellite image of a heavy dust event going over the Cape Verde Islands, which are a couple of hundred kilometers off of the African coast. And that's what it looks like on the ground in Saul Island in a sort of a medium dust event. Now, by the time the Saharan air layer is over the Cape Verde Islands, most of that stuff is up in the atmosphere and it's not on the ground, but you get gravitational settling of the larger particles. And then as the dust goes across the Caribbean, across the Atlantic to the Caribbean, takes about 5 to 10 days, depending upon the strength of the Saharan air layer and the jet. And you finally get it coming down to the boundary layer, and you take the normal air visibility in the Virgin Islands down to about 1 or 2 kilometers. And this is a concentration of about 100 micrograms per cubic meter. So there's a big difference in the amount of particulates in the air. But by the time the particles get to the Virgin Islands, the average size is less than 1 micron, which is going to mean something, if it doesn't already, to you and all of us. But as Nick mentioned, this system has been going on for thousands and thousands of years, so why now? You know, why would it be affecting coral reefs? Why would it be affecting humans more? Well, as Nick also mentioned, the quantities of dust have increased coming out of Africa in the last four decades, and the composition we are suggesting and are showing has changed over that time period. So the quantity of dust that is picked off the ground and transported thousands of kilometers is actually controlled by, enforced by, global climate, so ocean-atmosphere interactions. Regional meteorology, what's happening on a regional and local basis as far as convective storms. Sea surface temperatures on either side of Africa drive the African monsoon and convection, which lifts it off. The surface composition, you're not going to lift up boulders, so it has to be usually an area where you have sedimentation in the past, river valleys, old lake beds, and then you have human activities that all affect the amount of dust that can get lifted off of the ground and transported. But the composition has changed because in the last four decades, we've had increased amounts of pesticide use in the source region for things like malaria, so against mosquitoes, and it's still legal to use DDT there. You have crop pests that, such as locust plagues, and again, you have things like dieldrin and DDT used against those. You also have increasing industrialization. Not a lot in the source region, but there's some manufacturing of plastic bags. You have increasing amounts of electricity, so you have more transformers, and you have more vehicles. So you have polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, polychlorinated biphenyls, and these kind of nasty chemicals going into the air. The other thing that's happened is that even though there is a tradition in this region of Africa, actually most of Africa, to burn all garbage and biomass so that you have hundreds, I mean thousands, of these little tiny low-level, low-temperature fires, garbage nowadays is plastic bags, plastic objects, tires. And so all of these things at a low temperature form a really good possibility of forming dioxins and furans, which are known to be highly carcinogenic, PAHs, and it also tends to concentrate metals into a vapor phase. You also have pharmaceuticals and antibiotics that might be used, let's say in the Niger River Valley, and also microorganisms because sanitation is rather rudimentary there, shall we say. So everything goes into this river system. It floods once a year over the floodplain, comes back, so you have these compounds that can be toxic or damaging to humans, that can be particle active, they glump onto these very fine dust particles, which then later on can be lifted up into the air. So we sampled in the dust source region in Mali. Then we wanted to go off of the continent to get rid of continental effects, and so we sampled in Cape Verde. Then at the downwind side, about 5,000 kilometers away in the very southeastern Caribbean in Trinidad, and then later moved to Tobago, and then in the northeastern Caribbean in the U.S. Virgin Islands, because the Trinidad-Tobago gets mainly the winter dust, which comes from actually different sites, and the Virgin Islands gets more of the summer dust. And we sampled both gas and what we're calling gas and particle phases. And we looked at the dust concentrations in the air masses, analyzed for 32 different elements, analyzed for over 100 banned and common use pesticides, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, dioxins and furans, polychlorinated biphenyls, and we also looked at microorganisms. And when we first started this in 1997 for the microorganisms, we were doing culture techniques because that was the technology. But in the meantime, the last go-around, we were using microarrays, which tells us a lot more. So in general, what you're going to see is that from left to right, we have source, where it says Bamako. That's in the river valley of the Niger Valley, and it gets an inversion, so we were getting some local contamination. So a couple of years later, we moved to Kati, which is just up on the escarpment, so we were going to get less contamination. And then Cape Verde, and then the downwind sites. And what we find is much higher dust concentrations in the source region Van and the downwind sites, sort of a no-brainer. The ones in the source region, even in a non-dust event, just sort of normal background, is higher than EPA PM10 24-hour concentrations. For elements, we found the concentration of the composition in the bulk samples were similar from all the sites, including dry deposition in the source region. What we did find was that downwind, there were elevations in molybdenum, cadmium, and antimony, but in general there wasn't a whole lot of metals enrichment or elemental enrichment, and that they were all very close to crustal composition. Lead was elevated in moly only, and that's because they used lead in gasoline until 2008. But the one thing you need to think about is just because something is close to average crustal composition in something like arsenic or molybdenum or lead, you have to think about how available it is to biological organisms, and that's what Suzette's going to talk about next. As far as the persistent organic contaminants, we found the same suite of pesticides, PAHs, and PCBs in the downwind sites as were in the source region, but it was a smaller set, so it was a subset. And the concentrations were 10 to 1,000 times greater in the source region than at downwind sites. Dioxins and furans, which are known to be highly carcinogenic, were detected in moly samples only, although we only sampled a few times. But luckily, the compounds were the less toxic of the dioxins and furans that were found there. And as far as the pesticides, these are all bad guys. There were 12 pesticides that were found at all the sites. There were 12 pesticides analyzed and detected. Six, the ones in the italic, were found at all sites. So chlordanes, chlorpyrifos, Dacthal, endosulfan, hexachlorobenzene, and trifluralin were found at all sites. DDXs are the DDT family and the degradates. And what we found, and this is a log scale here on the y-axis, so that we had 10 to 100 times greater concentrations of pesticides in the source region than downwind. And downwind, we had higher concentrations in dust than non-dust conditions. And when I talk about persistent organic contaminants, they all persist in the environment, they all bioaccumulate, and every one of them is known to be harmful to animals or plants. Teratogens, mutagens, carcinogens, hepatotoxic, neurotoxic, suppress immune systems, they may disrupt endocrine systems. Things like DDT can disrupt photosynthesis at 2 parts per billion in the ocean. So again, these are of great concern. Now, what we found is that a lot of work has been done on the health effects. We have the particles, and then we have the contaminants. And in Turkey, they found that the African dust actually triggers headaches via the trigeminal vascular system in animals. So that made a lot of sense to me, having lived with too much African dust. If we look at the particles themselves, it's known that anything smaller than 10 microns goes into the bronchial area. Anything smaller than 2.5 microns go into the alveoli. And I'm sure that all of you are aware that there's an increasing amount of literature that talks about the increase in mortality from stroke and heart attack, and also increases in respiratory disease with increases in particles, concentrations of particles less than 2.5 microns. And the same thing was found for African dust. So African dust behaves the same as something like in a city. That work's been done in Spain and Cyprus, where they showed this. One of the groups in Taiwan was looking at what the mechanisms might be, and they found that plaque developed in just 5 months in mice, breathing particles less than 2.5 microns. Same thing for childhood asthma. Asthma admissions go up with an increase in PM10 or PM2.5 in Greece. for particles and for African dust. And also, it was found that when they looked at lung tissue, there were changes that were similar to asthma done after breathing increases in concentrations of PM2.5. Some of this could be due to transitions metals, which can cause inflammatory reactions when they're deep in the lungs in alveoli, or increased exposure to soot particles. They put mice upwind and downwind of a power station, and they found that the mice downwind of the power station had mutations in DNA, and they found that those mutations were inherited. And then we have what's happening when all of these toxins, endocrine disruptors, and these persistent organics are delivered with the small particles deep into the alveoli, and we don't really know. What we do know about ecosystem effects is that dust is the source of soil on carbonate islands thousands of kilometers away. It's a mechanism for introducing organisms to ecosystems. African locusts were actually arrived alive in the Lesser Antilles with a dust event in 1988. Microorganisms are known to be carried through the atmosphere long distances, including pathogens. Iron from African dust triggers phytoplankton blooms, red tides, nutrients from African dust fertilize the Amazon basin, and nutrients from Asian dust fertilize soils especially depleted soils in Hawaii. And what we have been wondering is how especially the contaminants can be affecting coral reefs, and I'm running low on time, so essentially does it affect metabolism? Do they possibly affect reproduction? Do they affect killed outright? And there's only been a little bit of work done on this using single pesticides, and they did find a very strong effect with two of the pesticides that we have found at all sites. And the question, though, is contaminants can be found in mixtures or singly, and is the toxicity additive? Is it synergistic? What's going on? But basically, and I'm going to whip through here, we have higher concentrations of dust. We have higher concentrations of contaminants, much higher concentrations of microorganisms in the dust source region, but there have been very few of the studies done in that region. They've been done in the downwind sites with much lower concentrations. There have been significant effects even with the lower concentrations. So it's been suggested that more studies be done to see how much respiratory disease is in the source region, how the dust affects recurrent disease that's there because these folks have a high disease load, and how does distance from the source affect disease, and how does age of a person, how is it affected by dust and longer exposure to the dust, like over days. And eventually the question is, how do we keep the dust on the ground, how do we reduce the contaminants in the source region, and therefore reduce the negative effects? And I have a cast of thousands to thank. And thank you.
I'll cede a minute of my time if anybody has a question, or else we can hold it till after.
Just a question about the total volume transported over the last 50 or 100 years, if, you know, with warming and what's going on with climate, if any models have been shown to change the total amounts.
I think I'm probably not the right person to answer that. I think Nick's probably a better person to answer that. There have been studies done. In fact, Nick showed the Prospero slide. Joe Prospero at University of Miami has a 45-year record from Barbados. Lately there's been lots and lots of interest, especially the last 5 years. And they have been using different global climate models to look in different scenarios to see under different scenarios how much dust is going to be transported. And there was just a paper that came out estimating the amount of dust that is coming across now and will come across later. Yeah, that is being looked at by climatologists.